This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Well, hello there. I'm Andrew from Pants Pending Studios, and I want to share with you from the good book of never-ending random discussion.
Again, I trust you are putting your valuables in the center of your living rooms as previously instructed. Good Lord, I hope that's previously instructed.
The never-ending random discussion is a collection of funny and interesting people sitting down to be random.
Why is she naked?
Those eyes are so piercing.
I forgot that she had tiny little animal eyes, like beady little black eyes. Oh dear God.
Why is she covered in frosting? That's weird. Good. That's like a cake thing. That's not for donuts.
Anything can happen, and anything does happen. Not that I'm sexist, but kitchens need to stay in women. I went with it.
Kitchens need to stay in women. That's Andrew Reisenhuber, 2016.
Find the show at celebrategeek.com/nerd. Tune in and thank me later. Pants pending.
Hello, my gentle snowflakes. This is Deese. You know me as host of The Social Hour. But now, you can find me every Tuesday hosting the brand new Drink and Debate podcast. The Drink and Debate is an improv comedy competition in which four teams of comedians from all over the Pacific Northwest face off for beer, glory, and the title of Master Debaters. Wait, what? For beer, glory, as they master debating. Shit. Master to debater. It still sounds like I'm saying masturbate. Master did it. Son of a bitch. Screw it, we're doing it live. As comedians debate some things. So join us on the Drink and Debate podcast. Every Tuesday, you can find us on socialhourpod.com or on iTunes. And find the Drink and Debate live shows every month at the Spokane Comedy Club, hosted by myself and comedian Nick Cavassier. Go to SpokaneComedyClub.com for all the details. We'll see you there.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC. So if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
George Michael dying is my 9/11.
Get ready for the social hour.
Everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. Thank you for joining us for another fantastic episode. We are back in the studio. The trio is here with you, your trinity for the new year 2017. We have Monica Stutz and her cybernetic arm in studio this evening. How are you doing, dear?
I'm good. A little sore, you know, recovering still, but I don't work, so that's fun. I have lots of time to take baths and take hydros.
That sounds great. I want your life. Yeah. I'd take a cybernetic arm, a bath.
I know. I was like really mad about it for a week, and then I was like, dude, I'm kind of living the dream.
Break
right
my
now.
Other arm.
I know. Like, I'm going to do this once a year. Just take an extended vacation.
For those of you who don't know, we'll post some pictures. Monica had a little bit of a fall, broke her elbow, and she's got about 47. Someone asked me, a friend of the show, Jeremy Person, asked me about it. We were talking about Monica. And I said, it looks like she's auditioning, it looks worse than Robert De Niro's Frankenstein. If anyone can remember that movie. But she's on the mend. She's back with us. So glad to have you back, dear.
Thank you.
And Traz, as always, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm happy to be here.
2017's been great so far.
It's a new year. It's a new year. The new year, it doesn't mean a lot to me. The whole arbitrary calendar years thing does, you know, I mean, I understand it's symbolic. I just kind of, literally, I was at the comedy club, and I was sweeping up popcorn, and then
they make you work.
yeah, I work. I actually do stuff. I clean up after the shows, and I was like sweeping up popcorn, and somebody goes, "Hey, it's after midnight." And I go, "Cool," and I just kept sweeping up popcorn. Like that's
because it was New Year's.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve. Like, yeah, there were two shows.
You didn't look for like some bra to
I was well, fuck it. I don't care. No one was around. I don't care. I just kept working. It was whatever. But it is a new year, new things. You know, everyone. I found it funny because everyone was complaining towards the end of 2016.
Oh yeah.
About like this was such a terrible year and such so shitty and so awful and just I posted on Facebook. I think you guys both saw, but I'm like, you know, I made the joke of like, I wish all these stupid Syrians would shut up because don't they understand, you know, our privileged white Americans are having a real tough time over here in 2016. It's like, I don't understand what people like. Okay. Yes, the president elect is pretty shitty. Like no one's really happy with him. If we voted in Hillary, the other half of the people would have been really upset and it would have been just as shitty and just in different ways. You know, but we're pretty fucking lucky, you know. We have a lot to be thankful for. I think 2016 was a great year for me. I don't know about you guys personally, but I happen to genuinely love 2016. It was one of my best years, honestly.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I'm 34, turned 34 this year, and I find myself enjoying life more than I ever have before. We're gonna have listen to me in stereo.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants that.
instant playback. Monica's doing her Snapchat over there.
Sorry,
that's okay.
People gotta know.
Well, you haven't been here in a while. You gotta remind them you're still here. Like, I am a thing. Don't forget me.
I've been out of commish. My name's on there somewhere.
I am still a person.
Yeah.
Like I almost have took you off the logo. No, just kidding.
I don't know who that broad is anyway.
I was gonna Photoshop Traz's face over it for a couple episodes. Didn't have time though. just rude. Leave the blonde hair, just Travis face. For me, 2016 was a banner year, I gotta say. Like, Traz and I talked about this a little bit last episode, closing the year out. But we had a big year here at the Social Hour. You know, we got to join Pants Penny Network, which has been a huge thing. I got to talk to Andrew a couple times towards the end of the year. There's some big things coming out of Pants Pending in 2017, and that was a good jump for us. It was a little bit of a risk for him and a little bit of a risk for us, but you know, I didn't know Andrew and he didn't know me, but we had mutual friends in Steven Bateman, host of Why Haven't I Seen This, also on the Pants Pending Network. And it worked out, you know. It was great for us. We've brought something new to the network. They've brought people to us.
Sandemonium,
we got to go to Sandemonium. That was like a highlight of my summer,
yeah,
by the way.
Was
like
fun.
That was such an awesome time. I had this big long beer traveling trip that I went on that was great. Got to meet up with Monica and we went to Sandpoint, which was just an awesome festival, awesome time. We had a good night in Sandpoint.
Those bitches robbed me.
Monica got jacked for her cell phone charger.
But hey,
and
we always have a story, right?
Mid-level vodka.
Yeah, my flavored vodka and my iPhone charger. Oh, hey.
There you go.
Yeah.
But
I'm too used to this.
It was a, you know, great year. You know, I got to, brought into Spoke Comedy. Doing the drinking debates, hosting that. We had a great year, closed out the year, had our first show in Spokane last night, going to Tacoma next weekend for our first show in Tacoma.
I bought a house.
Monica bought a house.
I bought a house too.
Traz
bought a house.
Yeah, 2016 was pretty.
It was a great
I think
year.
This the end of mine was really bad. It just all kind of like came together.
Piled
it
up
was
at
all
the
like
end.
Poof, poof, poof. Yeah. Because, like, the day before I fell and broke my arm, I rear-ended somebody on Division. So my bumper is literally sitting in my backyard right now.
Hold on. Monica's having.
I got this. I only have one.
She's got one arm.
I've got one arm. This is, I'm here. It's, like, so right there in my face.
It's really
great.
The mic's there.
I know.
Just
me and the boys.
Hold on. Filibuster, Traz.
Yeah, hey, everybody. So,
hey, Traz,
2016. Oh, man. Honestly, yeah, it was a big year, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of people did interesting, cool things.
And, hey, thanks, guys.
Some of it was shitty, you know, like Monica breaking her elbow. I got hurt a few times. Some of my friends got hurt. I was at one of my buddies' house celebrating a birthday, and I was trying to be really positive about 2016. You know, I was like, oh, it wasn't that bad, guys. And I was like, oh, except for you, buddy. You broke up with your girlfriend. Oh, and you, buddy, and you. Oh, shit, all of us broke up with our girlfriends this year.
Yeah, that could be a good or bad thing at the end, though. There was obviously a reason for that.
It all happens for a reason,
See,
yeah,
if the girls are crying, you guys are probably like, thank God.
No, honestly, all my friends and I were sad about it, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be good, positive things for everybody.
Well, sure. I'm usually, like, put so much into the New Year's festivity thing of, like, who am I with? What am I doing? Who am I trying to make out with? Like, I was literally ordering new address labels and checks with my mom on the couch at midnight. So it was very different for me. So I feel like this is really going to be a different year because I didn't put all these, like, weird expectations into it. And I didn't have to be doing something. I didn't have to be wearing a sparkly dress. I didn't have to be drinking champagne. I used to always have all these different, like, things that I had to be doing. And I was like, I'm getting these really cute address labels for my new house right
now. This is the shit right here.
This is 33.
Like, oh, man, I can't wait to get my coffee table I ordered from IKEA. Like, that's the highlight of my...
You got to stop getting IKEA at this age.
Yeah, you got to go legit.
I'm actually trying to buy, like, real furniture now. I'm going to come to your store and not just come for my mom.
Hook it up. We had a banner year at the Social Hour, Pants Pending. You know, Pants Pending is growing. We've got some big announcements coming. I won't spoil them. I'll let Andrew announce them. But we are going to have a great guest coming up soon that's going to be joining the Pants Pending Network. We're super excited about. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Let everyone know. God, it's I think 2016 was a great year for me, and I think 2017 is going to be even better. So
here's to that.
Quick reminder, though, the Drink and Debate, first Sunday of every month. Mark your calendars. That's in Spokane, and then I think it looks like it's going to be the second Sunday of every month in Tacoma. I won't be there every month for that, but I will be there this month for it. That's going to be a fun little trip. We had an interesting a little twist last night at the show. We may have offended a couple people.
No, never.
So the problem is we need to constantly remind people because it's a drink and debate. Like, we can't be like, oh, you know, like, you, we don't want to do like Pirates versus Ninjas or something, or like best pizza topping. You want to have something that you know these comedians can really riff on. And, you know, we've done like once you go black, can you go back? Is the earth actually flat? You know, like, really, like, what, you know, we want just topics people like we've done. Can
controversial,
you, right? Or like fun, even like, yeah. Should we build our own Jurassic Park, or, you know, like things like that? And we
should we give the land back to the natives?
We did that one. That was one I had. That was a Columbus Week Day weekend one that was good. And it's we did one last night that created a little bit of a controversy.
Did you come up with it?
I did not. I did not. I did sign off on it, though.
I bet.
It was
stamp of approval.
So I'm gonna. There's been a couple I vetoed. I'm like, we can't do that. We can't talk. Okay, that's too much. But it was, do vaccines cause autism? Was one of them,
dude.
And it didn't go over great with some crowd members.
I wouldn't have been happy if I was there.
But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. We've done coat hanger abortion, you know, and everyone was fine with that. And we had a meeting with a club manager afterwards because it was his it's a new club manager, and he this was his first experience with the show, and he was like, all right, so we had a table walk out and they were mad, and I'm going and my point was, I'm like, listen, this is a young liberal arts type of haven, a comedy club, right? So what if most of these people are very young liberal people. So what if we've done very political, politically charged topics before, and we've talked about, people have talked shit about conservatives and Trump and religious people. And I go, how come that is okay, but we have to draw this line for these people here? That offends the shit out of some people, right? Like, who are we to draw a line in the sand for certain people? And if it's not for you, like, I get it. Some people are going to get offended by things, and that's okay. I'm not getting mad at people for being offended. What I hate is that need to want to correct, to be like, to like settle someone's hash. If you're if you go to a comedy club and you don't like the material, it's not your job to settle their hash.
They left.
No, but they did. They sent emails and took paper and filled out cards to leave at the door.
Yeah.
Unsolicited. And like that's creatively, that's not your job to settle someone's hash in a comedy club. Do you need me to get that for you? Monica dropped her ice. you know, it's like, fuck these people. Don't sit there and be like, I'm going to go to a comedy club and I don't like that material, so I have to settle your hash. No, it's not your material, and it's not you. It's not what you're into, which is fine.
Well, here's the thing: there's two comedy clubs. There's two, they've probably been to some place that never would touch that stuff. But that's not your guys' comedy club, and that's not what you guys do. You guys are trying to push those bars, and you are trying to make that there is no differentiation between what topics can be touched upon. But that's what you guys are doing. So that's not the establishment that they're going to go to. But you do have to understand that there are comedy clubs that would never touch any of those subjects with a 10-foot pole.
That's not true. Any comedy club will touch any topic. It's just it's up to the comedians who are performing, because you have headliners. You know, if Anthony Jeselnik wanted to come through there, and he's notorious for having a litany of rape jokes, and he would tell all those rape jokes, and
but I'm sure there's comedy clubs that wouldn't have him there.
Any comedy club that wanted to make money would have Anthony Jeselnik do a show. He's a big draw.
Yeah.
I don't personally like his comedy a lot. But the thing is, it's an art, and it is a type of creative art. Mm-hmm. And that's like going up to someone's painting and then telling them why they were wrong to paint it that way. You don't have to like it, but it's not your job to fix it. You know, like,
outside
of constructive criticism, you know, you could deliver that joke a little bit better or something, but
yeah, they obviously had an opinion and felt like they needed to address it. It's not like it was going to change anything you guys were going to do.
I just hate those people who want to have to settle the hash of the, like, I don't think it's funny. Okay. You don't think it's funny, but there's a lot of things that you would be willing to make fun of that would offend the shit out of someone else, you know,
right.
Like, and that's the point that drives me nuts, is like, these guys want to be like, feel like, oh well, this I get it. If you don't think and I don't think anyone was making fun of autism as a thing either. That it went in wildly different directions. It wasn't making fun of people who are autistic. In fact, there was a lot of advocacy about autism. It more went to like satire on science and how science isn't real, like, you know, satirical things. But like, people just hear these trigger words and they like instantly shut down and don't want to, can't actually look past that.
Yeah.
It's like,
I think there's just some subjects that people don't want to touch, especially if they're somebody that they know or themselves personally have been affected by it. That's just things that they wouldn't want. It's just a touchy subject. Yeah. It could be a touchy subject at the time. I mean, some people, I can't ever be upset with anybody for standing up for something they believe in. And if they want to write a note and that helps them feel better about their cause or their belief or whatever, then so be it. You guys aren't going to – you guys probably sat there and – you know, laughed at it and have, you know, had.
So let me pose.
I have a question, kind of. We've talked about this a lot on the show.
Yeah.
The idea of like, where is the line? But something about this particular event seems different to me. Like, you're coming here with some like real passion. You're fired up in a way that's different than just taking somebody's artistic license.
It bothered me because of the way it was handled. And then we obviously have to deal with the club owners who are unhappy with the people leaving, which I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But if you're at a comedy club, you should expect to hear anything. And if you're in a forum and it's a one-way narrative.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, leave. Here's the thing. Like, that's like, everyone knows I'm an atheist, but is it my job to sit and write letters to a church and tell them why they're wrong? Should I do that? Because I don't believe in, I vehemently disagree with their position. So is it my, should I take my time to go to a church, listen to the sermon, and then write a letter about why I think it's wrong?
Well, absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
But there's something different here.
Yeah,
though.
This is very
no,
different.
No, no, no. It just happened last.
Your compare and contrast is
no,
pretty.
That, no, that's
it's,
com-
it's
that's
very good, that's but, a, it's, that's but a, there's something different. Like, there's something different about spending your time at a comedy club versus going to, like, a church organization.
Yeah, you choose to go to church, and people that choose to go to church.
Okay, you choose to go to a comedy club.
I know. Yeah, but it's just totally different. I mean, if you guys don't. I mean, I don't think you should make this big of a deal about it. Like, if somebody doesn't like your shit, they're going to leave. And if they have something to say about it, then that's okay
it's not even mine because I wasn't up there making jokes. Yeah. So it wasn't like my jokes that were being shut down.
I mean,
it was the comics.
We know how you feel.
It was the comics.
People should be able to say and whatever they want, especially in the comedic form, that you guys should be able to touch on whatever subject. We already know how you feel about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it just happened last night. And so it's very fresh,
right.
And it was just so. It's,
you guys
it,
stop
I don't,
getting butthurt about the people that get butthurt about you.
No, people just need to get over it. Just stop talking. Stop getting upset about trivial things. That like why take the time to? I don't understand. Like, again, the settling of the hash is what I don't get. Like, the I need to correct what I don't like. Like, I'm never gonna come here again anyway. It's like if I go to a shitty,
it's like that show, like, what would you do when you see some, like, a guy being abusive to a woman on the street, like, he's yelling at her and he's degrading her or something like that, and you just walk by and you don't do anything
that's
about
different.
It.
That's someone
it's
in peril.
It's not different.
That's someone
I know,
in peril.
But you're hearing people talking about you don't know how that subject
where's the line of how you treat women
that's directly affecting directly affecting someone
yeah,
like that's an attack on an individual.
It doesn't
matter, everybody's not a person,
you have no idea what their situation
is. And by making that judgment, you're drawing the line on what an attack on a person is. Like, I think we can all agree that, like, punching a girl in the face is an attack on a woman.
That's not the
point.
But where
do you draw the line?
Did they make my sandwich wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know.
The point is, they felt a certain way, and they wanted to stand up for the way that they felt, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. You guys can choose to accept it or not, but you can't be mad at them about it.
What is the goal of that? What do they do?
Because that's how they felt about it. Everybody's allowed to express how they feel because it's a free country.
And I guess we've kind of probably all been in the position where you've gone to like a restaurant or something, and it's like there's a certain expectation you have when you go to a restaurant, and at some point, some restaurant has like completely fucked it up for all of us to the point where we're like outraged, you know, like, how could you be so shitty of a restaurant?
Yeah.
Like,
and
how
that's,
did you even
and
have
that's
a job?
Why you yelp them.
And it's like, yeah, and it feels good
but
to be
I would
like,
never
all right, fuck Steven as a waiter, fuck Jim as a manager,
but what
your
a,
Ruben
no.
sucked,
what a colossal,
your bathrooms are dirty,
what a
fuck
colossal
you.
Waste of time. I would never yelp a restaurant. I just stop going. because it's a waste of, I'm not gonna like what's, what are they gonna
fix? You wasted your breath a lot on taking negatively about places.
What are they gonna fix?
You full on form like boycotts against places because of how they've upset you before. It's the same exact thing as them writing down on a piece of paper how they felt about your guys' comedic performance.
No, it's a waste of fucking time. What are they gonna do?
That's not, feel good.
That, it makes them feel good.
If it
good.
Made them yeah. feel better, I'm glad. That
what
they
what
feel
I want what I want
it.
Is I want them. I want to talk to these people and be like, I want to know what offends them and what doesn't offend them, and then say, well, that offends someone. So how can you say that's okay?
I feel like we're setting up an awesome game for future podcasts.
That I don't want to be a part of. Yeah.
What offends you?
What offends
We've got
you?
A couple of pictures. We're like giraffes scrolling through. Water balloons.
Yeah.
Monica's arm. Oh, God.
Gross. My arm offends everybody.
Oh my God.
Well,
I can barely. It was I just don't I don't
well,
I don't
guess
get
you guys
the
know
need.
I guess you guys know where you're gonna freaking hit some touchy spots now.
Well, but again, it was we've done topics a million times worse, and people
yeah, but they weren't there for those. I'm just I mean this is obviously a specific group that felt a specific way.
But,
so,
but
like,
but again, that's like
you're
that's
rounding
like a, that's
about
like a,
everybody.
It's like
too.
A it's like a black guy going to a Nazi rally and then wondering why he's offended by the content. You know, it's
well,
like don't
time
be surprised.
You should have
caught
them
on the way don't out. Be shocked. With I didn't know about it till after the fact. I was I'm too busy doing other things. Otherwise, I probably would have said something to him. but it's the settling of the hash. Like I just like again, if I go to a shitty restaurant, I don't like it. I'm not going to Yelp you. I don't give a fuck. I'm just not going to go there anymore.
If
I don't need to go there
anymore.
If I felt
a certain way about something, I would definitely say something. If I felt a certain way about a restaurant or the way somebody treated somebody or if I heard somebody say something that I was vehemently like offended by, I would totally say something because I wouldn't feel to sleep at night if I hadn't. And that's just how they felt.
Yeah.
And you can't tell somebody that they're not allowed to feel the way they feel.
Yeah, I don't sound
you
like
can
a baby,
feel
but
however you want to feel, but if it's not if
then
it's
they're
not all, actually,
they're just not going to go to that. They know they can't be going to the drinking debate.
Yeah. So just I like if I didn't like a show, like if I go to a concert.
Yeah, but
say,
that's
say
you.
You
you're
a,
not
no,
every, everybody else
you,
isn't you.
Say you go to a concert and you get up and like you don't like the show. Do you get up and tell you be like, yeah, I didn't like that music. That was shitty music. And like, okay, well, maybe some people were enjoying it because we had a lot of people who did enjoy the whole show that I talked to afterwards also.
Wow,
so,
that's funny. That just happened to me. Nanko and Medicine for the People came into Spokane at the Knitting Factory. And I like totally vouched for this band to one of my buddies. It was really his first experience with them. And they're a super like spiritual deep group. And one of the things I've always said to people was, I really like these guys. Like they have a very positive, powerful message without coming across as preachy, which is like really hard to do. And then so flash forward a year later to the second show I saw with them, invited my buddy. And at the end of the show, he was like fucking pissed, dude. He's like, Charles, what the fuck is this shit? Like, this is like the most preachiest like garbage I've ever heard in my whole life. And he was totally right. You know, me as like a longtime fan, I was able to step back and be like, okay, this is like a little bit much, but I still enjoy the music. But you know, and it relates to comedy because, you know, with concerts and stuff, I feel like you mostly know what you're getting into. Like, you've heard that band before. Like, maybe the guy will be fucking ass drunk or do like a Kanye West thing or
right.
a Mariah Carey thing, and then you're going to be like, oh, what the fuck?
You said music and then mentioned non-musicians.
Hey, whoa.
I'm confused.
Once again, opinion—that's your opinion.
But you know, like with church sermons, you know pretty much what you're getting into. You've heard of the Bible. With comedy, it's a little bit of a roll of the dice. You know, because you probably like.
But don't you know that going ahead? Don't you know that going in that there's comedy that's not for you?
Yes,
it's like going to like it's like going to a music festival. Okay, like there's a lot of different bands. Let's say you go to a music festival that has 20 different bands, and two bands in, you're like, I fucking hate this band.
Right.
Do you stop and take the time to express to everyone that you hate the band, or do you just stop listening to the fucking band and leave? You know, do you write a strongly worded letter
makes,
to?
I think it makes a difference that the. I mean, these aren't highly paid, publicized comedians. This is a local comedy club with local comedians. Okay.
Then it's even more. Then it's even more reason to have less of a standard for them, because. But again, I think
they probably just set a higher standard for them that they wouldn't.
A higher standard for lesser comedians.
Yeah,
that makes no sense at all.
Because it was. I mean, it was local. It was that you're trying to promote a local, and you're trying to gain notoriety from people or whatever. I mean, how long are we going to talk about this?
Out of over 100 people,
16 minutes so far.
I think this has been talked into the ground. Obviously, they had an opinion. You have an opinion. Everybody has a fucking opinion.
That's the point. All right. Out of over 100 people, six were offended. So who was right?
Nobody's wrong. Everybody has an opinion.
Okay.
I didn't say you have to cater to anybody.
You just do the things that inspire you on a week-by-week basis, and if that topic like felt right, then you do it. And if some people get offended and never come back to the comedy club, then it's okay.
Yeah. Fuck them. Don't come back.
Jesus' daily rant.
We don't. If you can't have a sense of humor,
I just have a few things to touch on at the beginning of the show.
Don't don't come.
16 minutes.
I wish we would have got these people on the way out the door and got them on the show.
Yeah,
There's no way they would have come.
That would have made it better.
Yeah, that would have gone real well. All we need him to do is walk out of here and
I still have to do things
the
at the comedy club too. I don't want to know where I live.
Yeah, I know. All we need. I'm gonna be like, I don't know him. We are not associated. I don't even know who that girl is. She has brown eyes.
Well,
that's a good one.
I can barely talk.
On to a funner subject?
Yeah, a local Spokane resident made regional news.
What's that?
That guy from Starbucks.
Oh. Grossy McGrosserson.
He would hate that you said that.
He can call me and we can have a discussion about it. I will give him my phone number.
I was going to say, I'll definitely give him your phone number.
Give him my phone number.
I'll be like, this
actually,
girl
give
right
him
here.
My Facebook Messenger. We're
going to have to lie and say that you're 18, though.
Ew.
To catch a predator.
I don't
style.
Know if he was going to believe that. Because I'm like two of those.
Oh, yes.
We could send him an old pic.
Well, don't bury the lead. You got to tell everyone what happened.
Right. I don't really know the guy's name, so sorry about that. But basically,
you don't have to be sorry.
He's just like a really creepy dude from Spokane, and he's like really vocal about his creepy opinions, like on mediums like Facebook and stuff. And so because of that, he's kind of got a lot of followers and like ironic followers. And but his whole idea about the world is that the world is essentially ageist, and that women from like 16 to 18, 19, you know, up to like 20 are in their prime. So he's trying to.
Well, I mean, in nature, that's true.
Right. I mean, this guy's.
I mean,
he's got a platform for a reason.
I think early 30s is prime, but that's just, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Like a late night happy hour prime.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Trez, I will freaking throat punch you from across the room with one arm.
Bionic arm straight to the dome.
My bionic arm will go straight for your jugular.
Well, okay, this is this guy's opinion, Monica.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's looking
sure
for
he's
a little bit
homie.
Younger peaches, you know.
I think calling them peaches makes it creepier.
Right,
I think that's a worse way to put it.
I'm trying to channel this guy right now.
Can we talk about Monica's peaches now?
Oh, we are.
Oh, man.
No, so finish this real quick. What happened?
Yeah, just basically super creepy guy, big platform on the internet and stuff, and he went into he's an ageist. Everybody's like thinks that he's a creep, which is just as hard of a word as like the N word.
Well, that's
that
offensive, Monica.
F-word.
Some people might not think
he's like
that's
almost,
your opinion that
he's like
no, that's your opinion that he's a creep.
He is a fucking creep.
No, that's your opinion, and some people might be offended by that. Some people might be okay with that.
Well,
and
all the creeps,
you know,
that are offended by me calling them a creep are,
you know,
even creepier.
I feel like we can really judge you right now.
Right.
That's not okay.
What
everyone
if you just
is. Everyone can have their opinion.
My name is Monica
people,
Catherine Stutz. I'm on Facebook, Instagram,
people,
and Snapchat. Get at me.
Some people are allowed to opinion that younger women are just fine.
So, yeah.
Everything's a...
He went to a Starbucks. There was, like, a 16-year-old barista, and apparently he made her laugh, and she's like, oh, ha, 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 you're funny. And he took that as, like, an invitation, wrote her, like, a note, really creepy note, and got kicked out of Starbucks. So, I don't know. I just thought it was great that a Spokane person finally made the news.
That reminds me of a great story. Years ago, when I not long after I first moved to Spokane, there was a shop up on the north side. I used to go into all the time for lunch and stuff when I worked up there. And there was this cute girl who worked behind the counter. He's talked to her all the time. And I went in there one time, and she's like, she was just getting off work. And I'm like, she's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, ah, I'm just going to grab some coffee or something like that. I'm you know, off work too. And she ended up joining me. So we're sitting there talking, and that just happened to be at a Starbucks. And I asked, at the time I was doing promotional stuff, and I needed some, you know, cute girls to go around to the bars and do some promotional things. So I asked her, and she goes, oh, well, maybe my older sister would want to. And I'm like, okay, cool. How old is she? And she says 19. And I go, oh, okay, cool. And I go, wait a second, you said older sister. And I go,
wow.
And I go, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 17. I'm like, cool, I gotta go. I'm like, I got to go. So I'm gonna pull my pants up now. And Lily, no, I'm like, I got to fucking roll. That's not, this is not, like, Chris Hansen's going to jump out of here any second now.
You agree. And, this fool's a creep.
No, only because, legally speaking, I'm not trying to go to jail for that shit.
Really quick, yeah, similar story. I was at SFCC on a work crew with just a bunch of the most gnarliest dudes. And this banging dime piece goes walking by, like, mini skirt, sexy legs, just how's it going on, right? And so I'm feeling bravado, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to go talk to her. My friend's like, yeah, right, blah, 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 like, definitely go talk to her. And I'm like, all right, she's walking away. All right, fuck it. Storm over there, go to her, start macking on her at the bus stop. I'm like, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm only 14. And I was like, oh,
fuck, dude. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
She looked a little older, but yeah, it was, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure she, maybe 15 and a half.
Bringing it up because it just felt gross. And
all right. These are officially both
that
gross.
Is bad. You can't tell these things. I swear to God, though. I see girls all the time. I'm like, that girl could be that girl could be 14. She could be 31. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't
know
anymore.
I get mistaken for 14 all the time.
Damn hormones and chicken. Fucking can't figure
it
out anymore.
It's that freaking Fosta
Fox. Yeah. I never know how old these girls are anymore. It's dangerous, I swear to God. So, yeah.
Creepiest joke I've ever heard about the subject. Get him before the hair does.
Oh, man.
You guys are out of control. Last show, I almost threw up. There was so much. Between the two of you guys.
That was over the course of a year. That was stuff that we had recorded over the course of a year, though.
So
I just ask them if they remember Saved by the Bell, and if so, then we're good to go. If not, then let's not. We probably shouldn't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, do you know who Zach Morris is? Okay, we can fuck around. So, and like, not like you caught it on Nick at Night last year, because that's okay. Well, let's we are going to get into some of our best of for local
first?
Places. Yeah, all but right. Let's for that, let's do some Monica's Munchies.
Chichita. Now it's time for Monica's Munchies.
All right, we've talked about this place. It's new. It's the King of Ramen. Got to try that out because we Nudo is definitely a fave spot of mine. I think both of you have been at Nudo before, but we were like,
yeah,
you know,
have.
Basically it was like, you know, you're paying $13, $14, $15 for ramen. So if you want to save a few dollars, you can go to the King of Ramen. It's a huge bowl, but they really only have like the two options. You can get regular or spicy is $1.50 more, and you can get chicken or pork, and then they have fried rice, and then like they do the little gyozas and edamame and they even had like a curry special and stuff like that. But they specialized specifically in just a perfectly well done, authentic ramen bowl. So enjoyed it a lot, and I was able to like still take like a whole soup container of it home. And so $10.50 ramen. I did the chicken. My friend did the pork. The chicken, I wish they did more like regular chicken. It was more like porky chicken, you know, when it's like kind of thin. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was my only kind of riff about it. It wasn't like regular, just like a nice white piece of chicken. It was like, it looked more like pork chicken. Hmm. I don't know how to explain it. When I've had ramen, they do the same. It's either like a cut that they do,
it's probably
or
it's
a weight.
Boiled.
Yeah, I think that's because
that's probably cause it's
I don't know.
Boiled.
And then it turned to like a that bread. I don't know. It was just softer. It didn't have like the texture I wanted in my meat.
I'm
particular
first drop of the year.
I got a good one for you. Okay. You know who Zach Morris is? All right, we can fuck around.
So, but yeah, so you know, it was good ramen.
Good ramen. All right, I have not been there. It turns out Top Ramen is still 3 cents a bag at the store. So if I want Top Ramen,
that's the thing. Is why does Top Ramen have to be so good? Like I don't. It's so bad for you. It's really
sodium and MSG.
But
and
like I will see a bag and I'll just be like, oh,
should get some.
I should put that in my mouth right now.
I've actually had like, but you know, and I was poor, but we weren't like we didn't eat Top Ramen. Like we had just other poor foods, I guess. But never, like, I'd never even seen Top Ramen until I was probably like 16. My buddy, was eating it. I went over his house and he was eating it. I'm like, what the fuck is that? It was like the Top Ramen, like the, you know, Yoshi or whatever the shit
Yoshi,
is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I had no idea what it is. I feel like it's, like, I don't not like Top Ramen, but I don't, like, I feel like there's never enough. Top Ramen is like blowjobs. There's never enough. Like I'm never satiated.
I think two. Like two in one bowl is good.
Two blowjobs in one bowl.
If I put two in one bowl, I think I'm usually good.
Are you talking about cocks in your mouth right now?
I'm talking about ramen in my mouth. Okay. But thanks.
So I
agree with you.
Yeah. I think two is pretty good. And like I like one and a half through. I'm like. I think I can get through this. It's but don't. Like, you can't add anything.
Soup is just like.
But you got to use the packets from three. But just the noodles from two.
You end up with a bunch of extra noodles. Like yeah. You just.
Because that broth.
But ramen's one of those trendy foods right now that.
Is it trendy? Is that
no?
What's
no, I mean like the restaurants.
Oh, ramen. Okay,
the restaurant.
Like,
places.
It is what's
like,
trending.
I think that'll go away in the next. No, it'll last a little while. But I think that kind of trend of food will
ramen's
fade away.
Just an anomaly. Like in jail, they are able to make like multiple things out of it. Like they do ramen pizza, where they just they moisten it and soften it down and use mayonnaise. And it's really good. Like there's,
all
I mean,
these prisoners are just caressing
yeah,
the noodles.
I love my ramen mayonnaise pizza.
Like, it's just amazing what people are able to do out of this, you know, this 10-cent product.
Yeah, they also make fucking, you know, wine in their steel toilets in their in their cells. It doesn't mean we should, you know, make a restaurant out of making Bruno.
Well, like, here's something to be said. I mean, I know that there's not going to be a ramen pizza place, but like the ramen burger.
You go to California Pizza Kitchen. Hey, can I get some moistened ramen? Throw some mayonnaise on there for me.
And make sure it was worked by a prisoner. Yeah.
Cook it in a dirty microwave, please.
Dude, I had some really good.
Like some clinically depressed person.
Surprisingly good things.
Who stabbed his mother-in-law for drinking their Pabst Blue Ribbon and has no teeth.
Well, if you want to try some quality ramen, you can go to the King of Ramen on 1601 North Division Street.
That's pretty lofty, King. Ramen
King.
Is there a queen of ramen?
I mean, I was served by a lady.
Oh, a lady. how old was she?
Not 16, so womp.
Wow. Younger? All right.
No, jeez.
I didn't know that she got a work permit.
Everybody's
or what?
Everybody's trying
up
to keep
that?
Their ramen down.
The so there it is, King of Ramen. All right. The I don't know. I can't. It's just, it's like pho.
I love pho.
I don't hate pho, but I feel like I could eat like a fucking punch bowl of it and then still want to go have a meal. So
I guess you got to get the large, man.
Go
to, why does it always move on me?
I don't know. Really, you're too active in there. Over there.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Get it tight, get it right. If you go to Vina, you can order. There's usually sizes. Like most places will have a sizes, but like I could never eat a whole large on my own. Mm-hmm. That's definitely almost like two meals. So yeah, I don't know where you're getting freaking.
Soup is just weird. Like even regular soup, I just soup. Is one of those things that I like it, but I just like I could eat it all day and just never like I'm never full.
Oh.
You know.
Well,
I don't know what why
a,
that
maybe it's an just, ethnic thing.
Maybe I don't know. Mexicans have a resiliency to liquid foods. Hot soups are our yeah.
Because white people, we fall after that bowl. Yeah. Okay. I have a nice, especially like I eat chicken noodle soup. Like that's kind of like my bowl of ice cream these days. Like at nighttime before I go to bed, I have a bowl of chicken noodle soup from the Dollar Tree.
Wow, that's
it's perfect.
Not depressing.
Yeah, it's
before
fine.
I go to bed, that's I have fine. A bowl of chicken noodle soup.
It's a dollar
from the Dollar
it
Tree.
It makes me feel good because I'm conservative and it only has 150 calories. Okay. And yeah.
All right.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, no.
And then what happens?
What happens? I watch Friends until I fall asleep.
Right. And the one about
it all starts to make sense. Yeah.
This is my life.
And she orders cute checks and
and I order
address
labels. I really have an exciting life, I swear.
Yeah.
I just saw Snoop Dogg again.
All right. first time. Have I ever told you about the first time I went to a Snoop Dogg concert?
No.
I was, I actually lived in, it's funny, because I grew up in Long Beach, same place Snoop is from, and I never went to a concert there, but when I lived in Montana, I was living in Missoula, and he played in Billings, Montana, which is a couple hours away, so we rode in the back of my buddy's truck, and just got fucking hammered the whole way there, just shit-faced, and we
so
get
so Montana of you just driving in the back of a truck.
It wasn't like an open. It was like a flatbed
like
truck with chicken coops.
Varsity Blues.
You know, like it was
like
a,
Varsity Blues. And you guys with your PBR.
It was like the back seat of a truck. Like we weren't like in like on a flatbed pickup.
What you
know,
meant was that was an
next
Escalade.
To the cows.
That's what it sounded like.
So we're driving. My point is, I wasn't driving. I was in the back getting hammered.
Well, let's hope
doing
so.
Drugs and alcohol, doing all the drugs and all the alcohol. So we get there. And we hit the hotel real quick to drop off our shit. We go to the concert, and it's nuts. Like, it's in an arena, and, like, literally people are, like, passing bongs around in the stage, same shit. Like, the whole, it's just a cloud of smoke. It looks like L.A. in 1993. Like, there's no, you can't see, there's no clear air.
Yeah.
So, it's like Beijing now. And I'm sitting there, we're up in the seats in the stadium and the floors down below, and I actually passed out during the opening acts. I'm in an arena in a hip-hop concert and I'm passed out. That's how fucked up I was. My buddy, I remember, he elbows me, or I don't remember this, but this is what he tells me. He goes, he elbows me and I wake up and he goes, Snoop Dogg's on. And I go, fuck yeah. He goes, you ran to the aisle, pushed the security guard out of the way, barreled down, and leaped over into the pit. And he goes, you were gone.
You were gone.
You were gone.
Goes, they took you away.
You just leapt. He goes, you leapt into the pit, and, like, you disappeared. There's 1,000 people down there. He's like, you were just gone. We had no fucking idea. And we're like, what just happened? And I have my memory of the concert goes in and out. Mm-hmm. But we, after the show, he goes, I found this out the next day when I talked to him, and he's like, we waited for you. We tried to find you, but there was a zillion people. He goes, we finally went back to the hotel room. He goes, and at like 4:30 in the morning, there's a knock on the hotel room, and it's you. He goes, you're holding a 40-ounce of Old English and just hammered and telling us these crazy stories. And then you walk in, sit down in a chair, and pass out. And I'm like, well, I guess I had a good time. Fucking, that's glad I paid whatever I paid for those tickets.
Yeah, I'd like to say that we had a good story from that. But we went to Kennewick. It was the Puff Puff Pass Tour, too. And so it was...
Bone Thugs?
It was Bone, yeah, it was Bone Thugs and the other guy I had just seen.
Warren G.
Warren G. But Snoop Dogg put on the best show, except for when I saw him at Coachella, the best show I've ever seen him in. Like, he played for a full hour. He was playing, like, everybody, like, all the cuts. Like, one cut would end, and you're like, oh, my God, this song. And then my favorite part, I literally started crying, was his finale. He finale'd and, like, slow acapella'd Young, Wild, and Free, and everybody, like, had their, you know, like, their phones and their lighters and everything mm-hmm. like that. And it was a beautiful moment.
Did
Snoop's my fave.
Did
and Bone Thugs did Thugs boom, do. Boom, 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 boom. I waited all like
it's
so when it came
Charles,
on
here.
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have video.
Ah, Bone Thugs. Did they do No Surrender?
Yeah, they did. I mean, everybody did. The only, like, Warren G, I had just seen him, and his show was way better when he could do other people's stuff, because his own songs are just like.
Nobody knows.
He just sings about himself. Like, he just spells his name and, like, sings about himself in most of his own songs. And everybody, and the other songs that he does, like, everybody's more familiar with, and he just, you know, he's just, you know, one of the people involved in him. So yeah. When you see him by himself and he's just at a small venue, he does everybody else's music.
Sure.
So it's really good. But by himself, it's kind of, it's a little, like, anticlimactic because you're just waiting for something a little more exciting to happen.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
See.
All right. What's going on here?
This is my favorite Bone Thugs and Harmony song. I have a buddy. This song's so badass. He's like the most white guy you'll ever meet. And this is in Montana, too. And there was a place called Paddy Creek in Missoula, where it's kind of, there's one way in and one way out. It's like, it's just up a hill. And he got in a chase with the cops. He didn't get a chase. He was smoking weed, and my other buddy was with him. And the cops got behind him and lit him up. And the story my buddy, who was in the passenger seat, tells me, he goes, this song comes on. The driver looked over at me and he goes, "No surrender, man." And hit the gas. And my buddy who was in the passenger seat was like, "What the fuck are you doing right now?" Like, this is, you're gonna try to outrun the police in a one-way canyon because you're hearing Bone Thugs and Harmony, No Surrender. Jesus Christ, you stoned hippie. They ended up like rolling the car and like off the road and totaling the car, and they were in the hospital for a while. But
yowzes.
Yeah,
jeez.
All inspired. Yeah, so yeah. Hip hop.
when that Bone Thugs hits, you
right.
know,
like. Don't fight the feeling.
Jeez,
these guys go hard.
I just waved my hands in the air.
Yeah,
when I heard the bone.
When
I heard that bone, though.
All right, let's Well, we're going to have a little bit of a truncated episode today, so why don't we just get into the meat of it here. We're going to talk